We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, the Masters is supposed to tee off today. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Weather may have something to say about it, Perloff, but beyond that, the number one story going into this tournament is still Tiger Woods. We talked yesterday about Scottie Scheffler's wife going into labor, but that's really a side show for the golf, and Tiger really is still the top story for most people. And if you look at Tiger's body of work over the last few years since his car accident, I really think it's time for him to become a ceremonial golfer and really retire from competitive golf. You
ceremonial.
Perloff, what are we watching here? We're watching a guy who's withdrawn from three of the last six tournaments he's played in. We're looking at somebody whose body is just physically broken down to the point where just making the cut is now the goal and probably should be the goal, let alone actually winning another green jacket or another major.
How can you say that? Because would you have said the same thing in 2016, 17? I mean, the guy went a decade without winning a major and came back and won the Masters. What's to stop him from doing that again? He's 48. He's not 68.
This
is a Masters. We've seen guys in their 50s qualify all the time, make the cut. There's no reason for him to turn away from this, especially this tournament. He knows that course so well.
He does, but I know you and I will always disagree about this until the end of time. It is a rigorous course to walk. And I know you have a thing about, 80-year-olds can all play golf. Well, they're not all playing competitive golf. And the thing about Augusta, and I've never been there, but obviously I know enough about the course doing this long, is that it is rigorous. It can be tricky. You are hitting very odd shots if you're not perfect on the fairway. And it's hilly. It doesn't come across that way on TV with the azaleas and they chirping in the bird music, but the bird sounds, but it is very hilly and it is physically demanding. It's a course he once dominated that now is going to be a course that's going to dominate him.
No, he will always get up for this course. I can't believe that.
His body can't do it anymore. It's not about the mentality. I think his mental will always be, I'm the Tiger Woods in my prime. I'm the one who is, everyone's chasing me. I am the best in the sport, and I understand why you need to have that for a competitor. Mm. But his body, not only has it been breaking down, the car accident, I think, really took the last part, and that was in 2021. So that's after he won the Masters in 2019. Right. And it shattered his ankle. I mean, he's lucky to be alive, I think. But beyond that,
definitely
shattered, and has now, rods and everything around that part of the body. I just think at this point, it's almost doing a disservice to how great of a career that Tiger Woods had. We shouldn't have to watch this ending where he's ranked 969th in the world, where he can't get through a round at the Masters. I mean, to say, he said it himself, he goes, everything has to go right for me to have a chance. And even if everything goes right, are you sure his body's going to hold up for 4 days?
Well, this year it looks pretty bad. I have to be honest, he can't finish a tournament. But you're telling me he's 48. In the next 10 years, he's not going to at least make a run at the Masters?
10 years? What are we doing?
Last year, Fred Couples was 63 and made the cut. And Fred Couples is actually, ironically, the one golfer known to have a worse back than Tiger Woods.
Right.
If you know that course, you can make a leap. Old golfer, it's an era of old golfing, by the way. Phil Mickelson set the record winning the PGA at 50. I think there's no reason to think Tiger Woods can't make an unexpected run at some point later. So if you're saying ceremonial, that means hang him up. If you're still going to be an active golfer, not on the senior tour, obviously the one place he's going to play first is Augusta. So
he can still do the ceremonial tee off and doing that without having the burden, I think, of being actually in the field and competitively golfing when he can barely make the cut.
Well, I mean, he's made the cut.
Or made the cut, but he can't finish the tournament.
I mean, he never misses the cut here. Even if he doesn't make the cut this year because of health, he will make it next year. I mean, this is golf. What are we talking about here? It's not like he is limping around. How many guys are really forced out because of injury? How many guys are that hurt? It's just not a thing.
Okay, but there is the ending of legendary careers.
Not in golf.
But they generally don't go great in sports.
They go great in golf.
Well, I mean, no, Arnold Palmer, a lot of those Jack guys Nicklaus. Are doing ceremonial type of stuff. And also, a lot of those guys weren't going for the type of history that Tiger is going for. You know, Fred Couples wasn't going for Jack Nicklaus's major record. You know, and Fred Couples is not the face of the sport still. See, that's another part of this where we're talking about Tiger Woods. And I think that with it, considering all of his injuries and how far he's fallen, you know, why be competitively golfing right now? You know, why not
win
just
a major?
Perloff, that's not happening.
It definitely is.
No, it is. Oh, my gosh.
Tom Watson almost won the British Open at 60.
Did he have anywhere that the injuries that Tiger had? His leg is fused together. His back is falling
apart. It's golf. I mean, come on. I think that he is a great... By the way, watch the British Open, too, because of weird courses and some of those that Tiger just loves over there.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, for him to hang him up would make no sense. Yes, this year could go very badly. He could miss the cut for the first time in over 20 years.
Yeah, he's going for the record, 24. That would be Fred Couples.
I still think that he, at some point, his body's going to settle down a little bit. He doesn't have to destroy the ball every time. And I think at some point, he's going to figure out how to play with this sort of fused-together body. It's golf, Maggie. You really don't think that... That he can figure out a way to get his body through four rounds of a tournament at some point. And all you need is to get to strike iron. I mean, did you see him winning the 2019 Masters? Nobody saw that.
No, but here's the thing. You're telling me now that he's going to be taking on the Scottie Schefflers? Now, these are people who are in their absolute prime. I mean,
Scottie Scheffler? Scottie, even with a fused ankle, he's as much as athleticism as Scottie Scheffler.
It's not about the athleticism, about who's playing the best golf and who's in their prime and who's far past it. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not taking away anything from Tiger or what he did or, you know, his legacy in the sport is cemented. And he did have that big, you know, win in 2019, and that's now a long time ago. Now that's 5 years ago. So what's been happening since then? It's been more challenges on his body. Do we have the cut of him talking about the pain that he's in and how much pain Tiger physically deals with at Augusta? Let's hear.
Is it worse here? And are you playing with painkillers?
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot, and I know we're going to get some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. It won't be like last year.
Okay, he says also that his ankle actually feels good, but everything else is not great.
You love and given so much to.
Well, the ankle doesn't hurt anymore. It's fused. It's not going anywhere. So that's fine. It's other parts of my body that now have to take the brunt of it. Once you put the rods in there, it's good to go. But you know, the back, the knee, and other parts of the body have to take the load of it, and just the endurance capability of walking a long time and being on my feet for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, you're talking about, you think that miraculously this body, that he's given everything to this sport, right? Maybe too much. Maybe he went too hard training with the Navy SEALs and all of that during his career. And maybe it was too much, but he's given his body, sacrificed it. There's nothing left. You know, if it's not going to be the ankle, it's going to be the back. If it's not going to be the back, it's going to be the knee. If it's not one knee, it's going to be the other knee. It just doesn't stop. This is why I would say Woods should just hang it up from competitive golf. He's done everything he can do with this body.
The most important part of your body as a golfer is between the ears, Maggie.
Yeah.
A wise man once told me the most, what's that Bobby Jones quote about something about 6 inches between your ears is all that matters at golf? Honestly, all that being said, if we're in 2026 and Tiger gets hot in Augusta, even if he hangs it up ceremoniously, he'll probably always come back and play Augusta.
Sure.
You tell me if it's Sunday and he's three shots off the lead and you're, you're Victor Hovland, who I picked, by the way, 35-1, even though he's slumping, and Tiger Woods is three shots behind you, you're not going to be scared?
No, I'm not anymore. Well, you'd be this was 2008.
I tell you, there is one more run in this dude.
Can he get to Sunday? Can he get to Saturday?
I mean, honestly, I'll bet you he makes a cut and bails out on Saturday. That seems to be his MO
now.
So what
are we doing now? Like, because this is the thing. What are we doing?
He's still dangerous. He still had some nice showings. I'm telling you, there is still golf in that guy.
Okay, fine. But if he's really in it now to start breaking some of these records, you know, making the most consecutive cuts, you know, and Fred Couples and trying to get a six green jacket and trying to, you know, eventually get to Jack Nicklaus and his major titles, then getting to Saturday, that does nothing for you. You might as well be playing a ceremonial round, because if you can't finish the tournament, this is Tiger Woods. You know, the bar is so high for him and set so high. If he's not even able to finish a tournament, why are we doing this? Because to do it for just for a lark, that's not what his legacy is about. His legacy then is already set in stone as one of the greatest golfers ever, if not the greatest.
Yeah, I think he believes he has another major, maybe two in him.
Maybe
and
two.
Honestly, I would watch him over the next 5 or 6 years for this tournament and definitely for the British Open. Because you know that those courses are just different.
Yeah, and you think the wind and the swirling wind.
Yeah,
and
I think that can knock out some of the more athletic golfers. I'm telling you, Tiger's going to win another major. I'm so confident in this fact.
Even though his body is breaking down.
Body, because you mentioned like it never ends well. Like name a golf. I mean, it's not common for golfers to really have to retire because of injuries. I mean, most of them just fade. I think. I mean,
we're watching a fade. Like that's
sad. They fade mentally. It's not like. Listen, Tiger's out there. He said the ankle doesn't even hurt anymore.
Except the back, the knee.
Yeah, but every old man on a golf course has back problems.
Yeah, not every old man on the golf course is trying to break records.
Yeah, but they're playing golf.
Yeah, you always say that, they're playing golf at a really high level. That's like going to your basketball run on Saturday and being like, well, you are playing basketball, so that's the same as Joel Embiid. It's not.
I mean, Phil Mickelson won the PGA at 50. And by the way, that does not seem unusual anymore. There are older guys making cuts all over the place. And I don't even know why. I'm not sure why that was the oldest major. What's the big difference between a 55-year-old on the golf course and a 35?
Because you refuse to acknowledge that there's like a such thing as a golfing prime.
Well, honestly, the big thing is putting. Is like the younger guys are more fearless on the greens, and like you lose your putting as you get older. So I just think that we are going to be in a golden age of older golfers too, because fitness has increased. And listen, if Freddie Couples at 64 can go out there and probably maybe make the cut this week.
Yeah, but he's not challenging to win the tournament. And that's the thing about Tiger, and this is why I would say he should hang it up, is because he's not going to be challenging to win this tournament.
But that's Fred Couples. He's 100 times worse than Tiger Woods. Honestly, I also think that I remember Tom Watson 2009 when he almost won that tournament. Dude was 60. And if you're great in your head, there's always another run. Now, Nicklaus won at 46.
Yep.
Right. But that was a long time ago. Was that 1986? I just think that if he could do that at 46, there could be another run for Tiger. Because the greats, the key thing about Tiger, it's not because because he hit the ball farther, but it's also his mental makeup is insane. He's one of the most competitive human beings ever to walk the earth. So I'm not counting him out. And obviously, the other thing, too, is, you know, ceremonial. Do you think he can stand there and like watch other guys compete? I think that would kill him, even worse than his back.
Well, I mean, what's worse? You're going to be, you know, ceremonial, and we're not going to have to watch you continue to fade, or you make the cut and you're forced to withdraw on a Saturday. Like, there's no valor in that, you know? And especially not somebody who is at the level of where Tiger was and the standard that he holds himself to.
What's he going
to
do every day? Like, what does Tiger Woods do if he retires?
Okay, every athlete has to face this at some point. And Tiger, at least, can continue to actually play golf. You know, if it's not competitively, he can still go out and enjoy the thing that he loves to do. But every athlete, do you think that Andre Agassi wanted to retire? Think Tom Brady wanted to retire? At some point, everyone has to do it.
And what did they do the second they retired?
Regret it?
They went to the golf course.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe there's tennis. 855-212-4CBS. Lots of hobbies out there. But we want to hear from you.
Yeah, not for pro athletes. The one thing they all want to do is go golf.
Go gamble. I'm not advocating that. Is this sad watching Tiger here? Do you wish that he would hang it up, or do you want to continue to watch him try and continue to go out there even though his body has obviously failing him? And to me, it's just not an ending that's like befitting of the career he had to watch him struggle to even get through a tournament. But that's me, 855-212-4CBS. Again, some major rain and wind in the forecast in Augusta, so we keep you updated. I think they're going to let the patrons in a little later today is what I'm hearing. But we start with Tiger and you, 855-212-4CBS. Let us know what you think. Tiger, your number one story? Should even be playing right now. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So I woke up this morning with more Shohei Ohtani headlines. And Maggie, you can explain the story, but I get this weird feeling, it's a vibe, that Shohei is somehow going to avoid this whole thing and his translator Ipe is taking the fall.
Not only that, pleading guilty, it looks like, is the story. Negotiating now with federal authorities. So it's the Homeland Security, it's the IRS, it's the U.S. Attorney's Office in California. And some of the details that came out in yesterday's report from the New York Times, because we were wondering, one of the big questions is, how did Ipe have access to Shohei's bank account? So according to the Times, there's some thought that Ipe had did have access to Shohei's bank account to steal the money for him to pay off an illegal bookmaker, as we go back to the Shohei Ohtani gambling story. And Ipe had actually set the settings on Shohei's bank account so Shohei would not get any alerts when any money was taken out of his account. You know, that happens to me. Like, I spend $5 at the, you know, gas station, and all of a sudden I get an alert, hey, you just spent $5 or whatever.
I get that on my credit card, not my bank account, but...
Right, credit card. So I guess he was, according to this reporting, and maybe this is coming from Ipe, or it could be coming from the agent, who knows, that he set these alerts and set the settings so that Shohei would have no idea what money's coming in and, more importantly, what money's going out. Now...
But that sounds so believable. Like, a lot of people, especially someone like that who's busy training for a baseball season, that is easy to believe.
It is easy to believe. That's also, like, major... It just adds to the fraud, adds to the lies, adds to probably the jail time that Ipe will eventually be serving. And again, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter who is pleading guilty, allegedly, according to reports, for stealing at least $4.5 million from Shohei to cover his gambling debts with an illegal bookmaker. Now, this still doesn't answer the wire transfers detail. The $500,000 wire transfers, which we've talked to multiple people who are in sports and around people with lots and lots of money who say you still need major authentication to move that kind of money. And so the fact that Shohei says he has no clue about multiple $500,000 wire transfers, we've still never gotten the answer on that very important detail.
Well, I hope it's in this plea deal that they get to the bottom of that. But to me, it's always been believable that a close advisor rips off a famous person. That is a story as old as time.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a close advisor. Usually it's a financial guy who's
the embezzling. Agent or something.
Yeah, that happens all the time. So I don't know why it's just because he's a translator and he's not a finance person. I don't know why that's not believable. From the get-go, I've kind of thought that Shohei's going to get out of this without ruining his career. And here's the question for you. If Ipe is taking the fall, quote-unquote, just really just going down for his guy here, what if he gets a 10-year prison span? That's unbelievable to me that anyone would do that. I would never do that.
You wouldn't go to jail for 10 years for somebody?
It feels like everything I'm reading, this is a very serious prison sentence.
So I think what they're trying to do is Ipe is pleading guilty and trying to negotiate. They're obviously trying to negotiate that down, like saying, hey, I'm coming to you. I'm admitting my mistakes. And hopefully that leads to a more lenient sort of sentencing. And he's hoping that maybe they'll take a little bit of mercy on him. It's a great question. Is there still time, if that doesn't happen, for Ipe to turn on Shohei, if there is something to turn on him about, right? If Ipe really is taking the fall, or that Shohei really did understand and did covering the gambling debts,
make the bets? I mean,
Shohei make.
But
the bets.
I feel like we're getting further and further away. In fact, I read today's headline. I'm like, wow, he's skating on this whole thing. They get a guilty plea in there, and Ipe goes to prison for whatever time. I don't think Shohei even gets suspended. Oh. You know, are we talking about just nothing now?
I think that Major League Baseball stops their investigation. I don't even think baseball goes further with this because, first of all, they want this to go away like now, yesterday, if they could have. And so if Ipe pleads guilty, they're going to be like, all right, pleading guilty. This is a lot of like the NBA with the Tim Donaghy scandal. You know, they were like, listen, it was just one rogue referee. But what about the calls he was making? La, 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 don't want to know. You know, he was on the phone with other referees, and they did not, I think they did not want to get to the bottom of that. And that was the late David Stern who was presiding over that. I think they're taking the same approach. Mm. The moment that Ipe pleads guilty, baseball is going to say, well, we have nothing more to do. It clearly was Ipe. We're all just going to pile everything on this one bad actor.
But that's the police's job to get to the bottom of that. And by the way, that was Tim Donaghy's version of these other calls. Tim Donaghy was blaming a lot of other people. I saw that documentary, and I could smell a lie from a mile away, and everything in there was lies.
Oh, Donaghy's.
Yeah.
That, not anyway. A rational.
But isn't that the police's job to figure all this out? Why would MLB? I always had a problem when NFL would send out their investigation team with absolutely no investigation skills when you actually have the police.
No, like this. It's like former FBI people.
Well, I know, but the reality is they don't have subpoena power. It should be the police who are investigating. All this stuff is real law stuff. I don't even... If they do a plea deal and this is finished, then MLB probably should pull out their investigation.
Well, aren't they looking for two different things? The
What do you mean?
The police, or the feds, rather, would be looking for, did you place bets with this illegal bookmaker? Or I guess they'd be looking at, yeah, just like, what was the... actually, I'm sorry. The feds are going to be looking at, did you steal? Did he steal from Shohei? That's really the big thing now.
They're originally looking at, did you place these bets? Place with
the, yeah. But for the most part, the bookmaker is the one who's going to get in the most trouble for that, according to California law, not necessarily the person who placed the bets. This is now a fraud case where Ipe is stealing. Major League Baseball's investigation should be, should Shohei, did he ever bet on baseball? And what did he know about Mizuhara? Because Shohei went out there in that March 25th press conference and said, I had no, Ipe was lying. Everyone was lying to me. I had no idea, not only about the money, the wire transfers to the bookmaker, I didn't know Ipe was gambling.
Right.
And that to me was very hard to believe. You spend this much time with somebody, it never comes up in a casual conversation. Oh, by the way, I lost $5,000 on Alabama football last night.
Well, I think the police have to get to the bottom. That's exactly what the police are investigating. That's not an MLB. I mean, the police have to know, was Ipe covering for Shohei?
Well, I think they're just wondering now, was Ipe stealing from Shohei?
Right, but if Shohei was actually placing the bets, and I think the police need to know that, because that changes the stealing charge, right? If it was really Shohei was having Ipe place these bets, and that's not stealing, that's Shohei.
Right, right.
You're going to send a guy to prison for placing bets? I do think if you have a serious vice, you can hide it, though. If this guy is a gambling addict, which $4.5 million does sound like a gambling addict, you can hide that.
Yeah.
I mean, listen... You know, I spent the first year of this show on crystal meth. You had no idea. No, I'm just kidding. But
actually, we did suspect you. We just didn't have it in us to confront you.
But you know, people can hide stuff, especially sicknesses. And if he was out there, do you think Ipe was out there bragging about losing $300,000 that he stole from Shohei?
No, but here's the thing: we did know that he was dropping Shohei's name to the bookmaker because apparently Shohei's interpreter and the bookmaker met at a poker game in 2021.
Right,
and
so he got that line of credit because he knew he was Shohei's interpreter.
According to the reporting from the LA Times, and I think ESPN had this too, the bookmaker was going around town bragging that Shohei was one of his clients. Now, said he never met Shohei, but he was trying to, you know, puff himself up and make himself look big, saying that Ohtani was the client, not the interpreter.
Right, but can't you see Ipe sort of manipulating that situation to get this large line of credit? But the police have to get to the bottom of all that. They have to put these guys, you know, in a room, Law and Order style, and say, you better
turn
not
the
lie.
Lights on.
Yeah, I mean,
interrogate.
Honestly, the other thing too is, if Ipe is lying about all this, he has to lie under oath and say, and he's doing a plea deal. I don't know the laws of whether he's under oath at any point. Like, is he going to go into the authorities and just make this whole story up and be full of lies? Because that's illegal too.
Yeah,
I think there's some federal agents here too.
Oh, yeah,
I think they have to tell the truth to them, or that's a crime unto itself. So he's just adding on to it. If he really is innocent, if he's lying about all this, then he's going to prison for even longer.
Feels a little different than when the guy took the fall for Barry Bonds. You know, remember when Barry Bonds' trainer...
Did that guy go to jail?
He did go to jail.
Victor Conti?
No. Greg Robinson, I think.
Greg Anderson.
Anderson, thank you. He was obstructing justice. He was just basically saying, I don't know, I've got no information for you. And he ended up going to prison. You're right. This would be Ipe actively lying on behalf of Shohei Ohtani, right? This would be him having to say, no, it was me. It wasn't him. I was the one who was placed. I stole the money out of his account.
So I think the simplest answer is that this guy was stealing from Shohei. And I've leaned towards the simple this whole time. You're more of a sports conspiracy theory person.
You think it was a fraud? Simple about this. The guy changed his story 180 degrees in 24 hours.
But if he is this liar and thief and criminal, then that makes sense.
Yeah, convenient though.
And also too, he was using that language barrier to his advantage. It's believable this guy was ripping him off. I mean, honestly, it happens. I'm amazed that this didn't happen earlier. There are so many guys. I mean, you've watched those documentaries. There are so many athletes who get ripped off.
There
because
are.
There's so much money, and they don't really have time in the middle of their career to manage all that stuff.
No, I get it. We see guys get ripped off all the time. But again, didn't know anything about the gambling habit and did no clue about the $500,000 wire transfers.
Very possible. You think? Oh,
don't you feel like, just let's take our office, for example, yeah, right? Where sports betting is, you know, I don't say it's encouraged around here, but it's certainly not frowned upon, right? We do this for a living. We talk about this a lot. Don't you kind of understand in the office, maybe not how much everyone's betting, but you kind of know who's betting and who's not.
I know you have no idea. You have no idea. But people talk about it.
But it's not about, here we do. But it's not about betting. It's about
stealing.
Him hiding his scheme. Why would he sit down and go, oh man, I just lost $250K on a Washington football game to the guy he's taking money from to fund those bets?
I get it, but they spend every waking moment together, right? That's what we're told. They drive to the ballpark together. You're at the ballpark. You get there 4 hours before the game. I mean, you're there all day. They're doing everything, every meal, every road trip, everything. It's just these two dudes together, and it never came up that he's like watching college football games and may have a little action on it. I you're right. He's definitely trying to hide it, but he doesn't know he's at a poker game. He doesn't know any of this stuff.
Well, I don't know, but Shohei never said, I know, you know, he might have thought that Ipe was making small bets or
no,
playing
he said
poker.
I had no idea he was gambling. That's what he said in March 25th. No clue.
He said, did Shohei say, I've never gambled on anything?
He said he had no idea that Ipe was gambling.
Hmm. Okay, well, that sounds a little suspicious.
A little suspicious,
but
right?
Also, but
yeah, definitely.
But there could easily be a $500,000 wire transfer. Say the financial guy wanted to move something from the stock market to the bond market.
Sure, sure.
There's no way Shohei has any idea that's going on. There's zero chance that he is following his finances that closely.
Right. And that's the thing to me that has to get answered. All the other stuff makes sense. I mean, people hide addiction all of the time.
Yeah.
All of the time. So, like, the fact that you didn't know Ipe was millions of dollars in the whole gambling, that makes sense to me. A one-on-one transaction of one guy stealing from another, that makes sense to me. But like you said, usually it's the guy that controls the money, that steals the money from the player or the athlete or the, you know, the actor. Where's that person in this equation? Like, because Ipe's a third party, so to speak. Somebody,
he's not his financial advisor.
Right, Shohei can miss things. Where's the guy who's in charge of the money? Like, there should be a third person involved
here
that's either fired or in on the thing with Ipe. Like, that's what I don't understand.
You're so right about it, because Shohei, we're talking about his gambling scandal. Ipe Mizuhara, his interpreter, turns out yesterday, well, he's allegedly, the reports are he's pleading guilty to the feds about lying and stealing from Shohei, but also that he had set these certain alerts on Shohei's bank accounts where Shohei wouldn't know when money was coming out of the account. That was the latest update yesterday from the Times.
100% believable, by the way.
Totally, except for the $500,000 wire transfers. I think that that's a little different than dinner at the BLT or whatever. But the other thing, too, is Shohei had to feel like now he must feel like he was living in the Truman Show, because he had people who were moving money in and out of his accounts that he wouldn't know. That's bad enough. But not only that, there's more reporting coming out that the agent did know that investigators and reporters were poking around on Shohei. Nobody told him. So all this stuff is going on. This scandal is breaking as he's in South Korea, and nobody comes to Shohei and tells him, hey, by the way, there's reporters sniffing around that you might be connected to an illegal bookmaker. I mean, you have to feel like your life is some kind of bizarro game show. How is this going on and nobody can bring it to me and come straight to me and say something is going on? Wouldn't that be a little upsetting and off kilter to you?
I think you're underestimating the power of, if Ipe did this, of criminals and guys who do this thing. They're really sneaky.
Oh, the agent, though, didn't tell him anything that's going on?
How about that guy who stole $22 million of bad daily fantasy for the Jaguars? That went on for 5 years, $22 million,
and they never found out.
They never even found out.
But the Jaguars aren't it.
No, they're not. This is happening all over the place. There is embezzlement going on under our very nose.
But I think to Maggie's point,
wait
though,
a minute.
Looking at Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah, what's going
Ryan,
on?
Do you have the bank
I'm not
account
to anything?
But to Maggie's point, though, I mean, like, yes, Ipe's abilities, even I may have underestimated. It sounds like. I still have questions about why, okay, he has changed the alerts on your bank account, but Shohei at some point is spending money on things. So do you go and see, hey, I thought I had $6 million. Instead, I have $3 million. Like, what's going on? Maybe he just doesn't care about that. I do think the question, though, does go back to that third person that Maggie and Pearl and Bogut are talking about, where it's like, how, though, when once you were alerted, hey, there's something going on with Ipay, that Shohei doesn't get any contact about that. Like, that just seems like a very weird...
Yeah, where's the financial guy?
It's a weird way to move. Now, it may just be pure incompetence, but this is CAA. These are some of the most, like, competent people in the world when it comes to this stuff.
But if you're that CAA, part is a little bit, you're a little CAA, bit and you want to get a message to Ohtani, who are you calling?
Ipay.
I don't know about that. Why am I talking to Ipay?
It's like nobody.
It's his agent. Why am I talking to Ipay?
It's like nobody. Also, I don't know. Here's the other part. I know that Ipay and Shohei had this really close relationship, but he's not the only person in the United States who speaks Japanese.
Exactly.
Or in California, or probably at the CAA office. The CAA is, by the way, just a major agency.
But you don't think that Ipay was in a unique position to manipulate everything because he was Shohei's interpreter?
Well, I think that's what they definitely, yes, and that's also what they want you to think. They want to pin this on one guy. He's the bad actor, and it's a much cleaner if this whole thing is an Ipe, you know, produced scandal.
So even if he pleads guilty and goes to prison for 10 years, you're still never going to believe that it was Ipe and you're going to think it's a cover-up. But you have no evidence that any of that happened, where we do seem to be getting a lot of evidence that Ipe masterminded the whole thing.
I would still like to know about... I still want the details about the wire transfers. We should move on, though. Well, other
headlines. Are obviously going to get that. I mean, that's not going to...
Well,
you
guys,
the police,
pleading guilty, they might just want to make it go away.
Like, you know, we're wondering about the wire transfers. You don't think the federal agents are wondering about...
And they don't give a you-know-what about Ohtani, or they're not protecting Major League Baseball. They want their win. If anything, they're probably disappointed they can't put this on Ohtani.
Oh, to get a little bit more publicity?
This is not an MLB investigation. These guys love their pictures of the guns and the money and the drugs on tables. Like, they want headlines. They want to pick photo ops.
Yeah, but
they don't
also
want to go, we should throw the Dodgers a bone here and not nail Ohtani.
I don't know. There's definitely a relationship, though, between the Dodgers and the city. I mean,
but this is not the city. Yeah, this is the federal government.
It's the feds. I get it. I do think that there are... there's a reason why the NFL... I don't know if baseball has this. There's a reason why the NFL has, like, a political lobbying arm. You know, there's like there. You
okay,
want
but that's
to know
not the same thing as like
the
for,
feds,
for tax
it.
Breaks for stadiums and stuff like that.
I totally get it, but it's powerful people in high places who are all connected to each other who have a vested interest to keep making money.
Right. I mean, I guess so. Like, yeah, that's convenient. I guess like if you want to like keep these things alive, but this is not MLB going, hey, we looked into this and Ohtani did nothing wrong. He's going to keep playing. This is the federal government deciding that he didn't do anything.
Well, not yet.
Well, that's what the story says.
They're saying that Ipe is going to plead guilty and throw himself in front of the bus.
The story says that they have found no proof that Ohtani has bet on sports.
There are powerful forces at work here, Matt Bogus. Right. Don't be naive. Chuck Schumer is saying, you better not indict this guy.
Listen, you guys, keep your head in the sand as much as you want. Let's get to some more headlines, though. Good morning.
Let's do some actual baseball. The game's top prospect made his debut last night at Fenway. 20-year-old Orioles second baseman Jackson Holliday went 0-for-4, 2 Ks, and an RBI ground out.
I wasn't very nervous. Obviously, my results weren't what I liked, but I wasn't nervous. I felt comfortable on defense, and I felt comfortable at the plate. Felt like I took some good swings and just wasn't able to capitalize on something.
Maybe he didn't like his results, but the team result was good.
The 2-2. Westbrook slams this in the inner center field. Durant is back. Turn it around. That baby is out of here.
Wow. That's from Orioles radio. Jordan Westberg hurting folks in center field in Fenway. A go-ahead 3-run homer, top 7. Baltimore rallying for a 7-5 win over the Red Sox.
By the way, 21 for Jackson Holliday. That guy is a beast.
Yeah.
He's huge.
I know.
Also, one of my new favorite pastimes is when you tell somebody else that the person is the son of somebody you watched. And just watching their face. And that happened with EJ yesterday.
Wait. Jackson Holliday is Matt Holliday's son?
Oh, yes.
Come on.
I had no idea. I've been watching these pictures of him coming up and being angry in the dugout because he didn't start at the beginning of the year. Gosh, did not know.
Such a great, like...
everybody knew Jackson Holliday was Matt Holliday's son?
I did not know yesterday.
And EJ's just like, oh.
I just found out right now, on air. You could actually cut that. My face.
It's a great. You should try it. Try it with a coworker today.
Here's my face of how you not know that. I mean, he's like the most popular. There's no more recruit. The Warriors. Here's Jackson, Matt's son.
That's
the reason
what
why
I
he's
said.
A beast is because he grew up in a baseball factory in Oklahoma, where his dad manufactured this stud prospect. And there's another one coming, by the way.
But it's funny though. Matt Holliday is one of those players who history forgets a little bit. Like I never think about Matt Holliday.
Oh, I don't. He always had big hits against the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No,
but I don't think so.
World Series champ, though.
Yeah. Really good player. Made a lot of money. Mm. And he's just building kids in some converted barn in Oklahoma.
He's building them. You make it feel like he's got him like some kind of like lab or some tube.
Oh, yeah. I mean, welcome to the world. Now that you guys know, like, go look. They have this huge on their property, this what should be like a public athletic facility of baseball and basketball and football. They're like the kid from Little Giants who made it through the crazy dad and got here to the majors.
So is this looked at as a, said, as a good to the thing? World. Is this looked at as a good thing, by the way, this Matt Holliday
factory? I don't think there's negative, like Todd Marinovich.
Right. Kind
of, it's just the fact like they were born into this, and now there's videos of him at like 3 years old crushing balls at Coors Field. Like,
that's awesome.
He's just been, they've been like this since birth, basically.
I know we hate nepotism in most places, and yeah. I am one of those people. But I love the sons and daughters of athletes just being gnarly at the sport. Like that will never get old for me.
It's just such an advantage.
But isn't it funny? It's always the mid-level NBA guy who has the great sons, like Dell and Joe Bryan.
But that's why I like this Jackson Holliday. That's why I love Vlad and Vlad Jr. I love the my dad is a star or a Hall of Famer, and the son is the next one. Like that something about that story just always resonates with me. And I learned about it yesterday.
And welcome to the world.
I learned about it today. Am I stupid? Because I didn't know Jackson Holliday. Yeah.
Stupid,
I
mean, is not the right word.
No.
Yeah,
you're definitely not
stupid. I don't really follow amateur baseball like you do, Bogus, apparently.
No, I don't follow amateur baseball. I follow major league. I mean, he's been a major league story since last year. I mean, he's the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah. I be honest, missed that one.
I blame Ack for bad updates in the afternoon.
No, I think Ack was saying it.
Ack never does MLB draft.
I'm going to say, you think Perloff's listening when Ack's doing updates? Come on, Bogus.
He's not listening when we're doing the show here. Like, my bad. The Milwaukee Bucks will finish the regular season at least without Giannis. No Achilles injury, just a left calf strain. His playoff status is a little bit uncertain as well. It's good news, a little tiny bit of bad news for the Bucks with Giannis in that lower left leg.
Calf strains can be tricky. You know, they're the type of thing that can linger, but we'll see. Look at Joel Embiid came back from an injury. He's playing great.
Is it going to be what happened to Luka Doncic 2 years ago, where he has a calf strain, misses the last week of the season, Brunson carries him for a couple games, and he returns and goes off in the playoffs, takes the Mavericks to the Western Conference Finals? Or I don't want to wish this, and I'm knocking on wood, is it a Kevin Durant situation where this is the precursor to something worse?
Yeah.
Because Giannis had Achilles tendonitis earlier this season, and we saw him come up lame in a non-contact in a shoot-around. So this is something that is definitely worth following. I'm nervous about Giannis' future, and Doc may have skated by again, because if he have a Giannis that's out, he's going to have more excuses to say, well, this isn't my fault. Like, I didn't have Giannis. Who could have won without Giannis? Giannis.
This is a non-story. The Bucks were going nowhere with Giannis. This team lost with Giannis scoring 40 to the Wizards. This team was going nowhere with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
I mean, their title odds are not good with or without Giannis. So, actually, you bring up a good point. This is the best thing that ever happened to Doc, the spin doctor. Because they were going to get, they had no, I know they beat the Celtics the other day, but I don't think they had a chance. Am I being naive? Like, there's no way they were coming out of the East.
It didn't look good for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know, the East, they might as well call off that playoffs and just put the Celtics into the finals. And I'm sorry, it was not working with Doc Rivers.
I was going to say, I mean, is the Dame Lillard trade might go down as maybe one of the worst superstar trades of this generation.
We've got so many better ones than that.
We have some bad ones, but this was supposed to be putting you over the top as a champion. And what may have happened was they may have put the Celtics over the top of chance by trading away their own starting point guard. Like, that's a double whammy. Traded for Lillard, getting rid of Jrue Holiday, your defense, your heart and soul. The guy just made $150 million yesterday over 4 years. And that guy may be the reason why the Celtics get over the hump.
Yeah, mistakes were made.
It's all right. Doc's there.
And don't forget, like, the flip side of that, too, is, like, Lillard waited, I thought, too long to leave Portland.
Yes.
He finally leaves Portland, and this is what he walks into.
Well, because he only wanted to go to Miami. and then found himself in Milwaukee, where they go with a first-time head coach. The vibes are immediately off, and here comes Doc Rivers to the rescue.
This thing was
doomed from the jump.
That is not a formula to win an NBA title.
Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, Russell Wilson, the latest on Russ and questions about his legacy. We'll get to the new Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So congrats to Russell Wilson. Not only does he, for now, have the starting job for the Pittsburgh Steelers, their quarterback, see how long he hangs on to it with Justin Fields right behind him. He's also been named Essence Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Moment. Now, I think Jalen Hurts may have also been given this distinction. He's on the cover of Essence Magazine, decked out, got the full photo spread here. He talked about how not only is he excited to play for Mike Tomlin, but sort of his place in part of the legacy he believes he's leaving on the NFL is the fact that he has been a successful black quarterback, went to two Super Bowls, and he thinks he's helped pave the way for other great black quarterbacks. And not saying that he's the first one, obviously, and goes back to Doug Williams and Warren Moon and Randall Cunningham and Michael Vick, but he said he believes, here's his quote, "For me to be able to go to back-to-back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think opened up a lot of doors. Now you see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come. The emergence of quarterback," and that's the end quote. And they go on to say, "The emergence of quarterbacks like Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and CJ Stroud, to name a few, is indicative of a new era of football and a glimpse into what the sport is trending towards." He says, quote, "What I love to see is guys getting drafted early, and that's a lot of teams these days have black quarterbacks playing for them. It's all across the league. It's showing that the National Football League is starting to evolve, change, and break down barriers."
I agree with all that, but I'm not quite sure what Russell Wilson's role in this was. I feel like, honestly,
Super Bowl winning quarterback?
If you had to do a poll, what was Russell Wilson's biggest influence as a successful NFL quarterback? I think it's the short thing.
It could be both.
And it's also the thing, I think when he fell the third round, it's funny. I think he's arguing that, hey, you know, because I fell the third round, I would have gone higher and guys like me are going higher. There's a couple things. He was a transfer, which I don't think the NFL understood at that time. Now everybody is a transfer because he lost his job to Mike Glennon, stuck around in college forever. And I think that's why he fell. And he was short. The fact that he was a black quarterback, it's a little confusing to me because Cam Newton and RG3 went in the top three before him.
Right.
And had success, and were those guys more influential?
I mean,
or maybe it doesn't matter because they're all part of the same story.
Yeah, but you know, Cam went to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. I mean, listen, he still was a league MVP.
Yeah, and RG3 rookie of the year MVP,
and RG3 was rookie of the year. But obviously, his career gets derailed by injuries. I mean, there's definitely something here with Ross. I think he totally has this as part of his legacy. It'd be impossible for it not to be. I agree with you though. Also, I think he's done, obviously, of course he's done a lot for black quarterbacks. He has to, just by virtue of being black and winning the Super Bowl. And obviously all that matters. I also agree with you. I think short quarterbacks is another thing that he has a legacy for. Do you think Baker Mayfield gets taken number one overall, or Kyler Murray, if Russell Wilson doesn't have the success he has? I mean, height is a huge thing. We talked about with Bryce Young all last year.
I think Russell, I remember him saying that he would never have gotten where he got if it wasn't for Drew Brees. And then people definitely built Russ. See, that's the thing. I'm saying Baker Mayfield is more a product of Russell Wilson than, say, CJ Stroud. But maybe I'm being naive here, because there have been a lot of quarterbacks who drafted way higher than Russ. I mean, I don't know. I understand what he's saying. It's a good story, but it is true that, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that how many black quarterbacks are going to be starting in the NFL this year? It's so much different than it was, say, 30 years ago or even 20 years ago.
EJ, you see a distinction here?
It's interesting to me because I think when I thought it was cool that Russ saw himself in this way, because I don't think a lot of people think of him as like a trailblazer, but right. he is, you know, since I guess Doug Williams, the last quarter black quarterback to win a championship before Mahomes obviously just did it. I feel like for me, I don't look at necessarily his play style and think that people saw him and said, hey, there are other black quarterbacks who play like Russell Wilson. Let's go get those guys. I agree with Perloff. It was more the short guys, per se. And some of those guys were black, like Kyler Murray went sure. number one, I think, because of him in a make.
Definitely.
But I look at Russ more in terms of the idea that a black quarterback can be kind of what you think of in the conventional style of the leader of the locker room, the leader of the franchise, the face of the franchise. You know, when we think of a Lamar Jackson who still gets critiques for being quote-unquote too hip-hop or not quarterbacky enough, the fact that we do have a Russell Wilson, I think, has allowed teams to feel more comfortable taking a chance on Jordan Love's, Dak Prescott's, Patrick Mahomes, and realizing that, hey, you can have guys who absolutely can be what you typically see in these quarterbacks. I think Russ definitely did something with that.
Interesting. And this photo shoot, Russ is going for it with this Essence photo shoot. Oh, boy. Fur coat and all. Got a lot more next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.